بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Abu Amir was traveling through the deserts. It was night and he had to stop over. So he jumped off his camel and he lay down to sleep. In his dream he sees that some youngster has come. That youngster is about to stab his animal. He's got a dagger in his hand. He's drawn out his dagger to stab that animal. He got up with a shock and he looked around his animal and he sees there's nothing. So he went to sleep again for the second time and he sees the same thing for the second time. Again, he gets up with the fright and he checks around to find nothing. Then the third time when it happened, then he sees when he gets up that there's an old man. That old man is stopping this youngster from stabbing this animal. And he says to this youngster, see, there are three wild animals here, deers or whatever, take one of them and leave this person's animal. So that person took one of those animals and he went away. Then this old man addressed Abu Amir that don't be an ignorant person now. When you have to ask for protection, then the days of jahalat are gone now. Where people used to ask protection from the jinnat. They used to ask the jinnat for protection. They would say, "A'udhu bi azimi hadhal wadi min sharri qawmihi." I ask for protection from the leader of this place, from the evil of the jinnat. So he asked the leader of the jinnat for protection. He said, "By leave, those days are gone. Now, you need to ask for protection in these words. A'udhu bi Rabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min sharri hadhal wadi." That I ask for protection from the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the evil of the jinn, etc., etc. So he inquired, "Who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" So he explained that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he is in Medina Munawwara, a land that is covered in date palms. And he gave a description of Medina Munawwara. Receiving the description, he proceeded and he got to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without him even explaining what had happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him the entire encounter. This verse of the Quran Sharif, رِجَانٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. That men used to take protection from jinnat, and this jinnat thereafter misled them even further. When a person moves away from deen, then he's going to commit some excess or the other. One way or the other, he is either going to cut short what he needs to do, or either he's going to get involved in some type of excess. Kami ziyati mein zarur mubtala ho jayega. Either he's going to cut short, he's going to compromise in certain things, or either he will overstep the mark. He will overstep the limit. One of the two he must do. The way of Islam, the way of deen, is that way of moderation. جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a very balanced, a very moderate ummah. that there is the total balance in you. You're neither on one extreme nor the other extreme. You are a very balanced ummat. So this balanced ummat will remain balanced if they adhere to the teaching of their Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if they move away from this path of moderation, then they're going to fall into some extreme or the other. Now, what does it require for you to remain balanced? That's important to know, that what does it require of you to remain absolutely balanced? One of the reasons why the Jews were envious of the Muslims is that these people have been favored in 3-4 different ways. They have been exclusively favored in 3-4 different ways. One is this, that their big day is a Friday against the day of the Jews and the Christians, Saturday or Sunday, right? Because this was the day that was preferred by Allah Ta'ala Himself. The completion of Adam al-Islam had taken place on a Friday, and that was the day that he was entered into Jannat. So this was the big day and the day of virtue in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Against the decision of Allah Ta'ala, these people used their own intellect and their reasoning. The Jews went on one end saying, Allah Ta'ala completed creation on Friday, so Saturday we must have a day of rest. So we make it a day of worship. So this is how they reasoned. So the Nabi allowed that. The Nabi allowed them to have Saturday, Sabbath, Yom Sabbath, make it a day of celebration or make it a big day. That was allowed, right? Then the Christians also, they went off. They went off. How did they go off? They reasoned within themselves that Allah Ta'ala commenced the whole process of creation on the first day of the week. He commenced the whole process of creation on the first day of the week. So therefore, the first day of the week must be the most virtuous day. So they employed their own reasoning, and they were allowed to use the reasoning, and that was the day that they were given, the first day of the week. But came the Muslim, and the Muslim, his outstanding feature that gives him that moderation, is that feature of Islam and Taslim. This was that outstanding feature in a Muslim, right? What? Whatever comes, whatever command, then you are submitting yourself. That this is a command of Allah Ta'ala, then against the command of Allah Ta'ala, I can't be employing my reasoning. Yes? If Allah Ta'ala wants me to employ my reasoning, then I will employ my reasoning. And otherwise, if it is a command of Allah Ta'ala, then I don't need to employ my reasoning. It's His command, let it be. After all, there are so many things in life that I don't know the reason for, but yet we still do it, right? In your own creation, you don't know why your nose is placed before your face and not behind your face. You may say it may look odd, right? But if someone has to counter that everybody else's nose is behind, then your nose will look odd. So in your own creation, you don't know certain things. You come to the conclusion that, well, Allah Ta'ala designed me like this, therefore I'm like this. You can't use any other reasoning above that. That, well, it was a divine plan, and the divine plan is carried out. Similar in namaz and other acts of ibadat, why is there 4 rakats in Zuhar and 2 rakats in Fajr? And Fajr namaz, why is it allowed and why is Zuhar namaz silent? What will you say? Well, it's a design plan, it's a divine plan. It's Allah Ta'ala's plan, He planned it in that way. I don't need to know why He did it in this way. Yes, what I need to know is, what does Allah Pak want from me? He will do what he must do, right? And I must do what I must do. I must do what He commands me. And He will tell me what I must do. That is the authority of Allah Ta'ala. When it is the authority of Allah Ta'ala, we believe that He is the highest authority, then He must command. And I am the servant. When I am the servant, then I must listen. So it's as simple as that. But then when we employ our reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala, ta'leel fi muqabalati an-nas, this is where we go off. And this is where Shaitan also went off, that he employed his reasoning against the divine plan. This is a plan of Allah Ta'ala, then you didn't need to employ your reasoning. You may say it in different ways, why did Shaitan go off? But if you look at this, this is ta'leel bi muqabalati an-nas. Right? He employed his reasoning against Allah Ta'ala's command. Allah Ta'ala says, make sajda. He said, no, I am better. Okay. So you're not allowed to employ your reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Apart from this being irrational, the way he carried on, it's irrational, not rational. It doesn't conform to rationale, right? It also amounts to bi'adbi, disrespect. Respect required, okay, when Allah Ta'ala's command has come in, I must just listen. I mustn't say, you know, who's better and who's superior and who's inferior. I mustn't look at that. I must look at whose command it is. The command is of the highest authority. There is no authority above that. When he is commanded, then he is commanded has to be given the highest respect. He is the highest authority. When he is the highest authority, then his authority must be given the highest respect. That's what our rationale, our reasoning required. No, he didn't want to use that. This moving away from that moderation and moving away from the command comes for several reasons. But in principle, it's two reasons why we move away from the straight path. Either the lack of love or the lack of respect. When you are deeply in love, then you don't ask questions, then you just conform that it's a command of the beloved, right? When it's a command of the beloved, then I don't need to use my reasoning. I'll use my reasoning if I don't have the degree of love. But if I have the degree of love, will I employ my reasoning? No. I want to secure my love. When I want to secure the love, then I'm not using my reasoning. And it is the command of the beloved, this is what he requires, this is what he wants from me, then I must just do it. Why must I keep a beard? Why must I wear a kurta? Why must I wear a topi? No, my beloved wants it. He will like it. I'm growing a beard. Why? My beloved will like it. I'm wearing some perfume or some itar. My beloved will like it. It's his command and he will love it. So I will do it. Then I won't ask a question. In love, making love, do you ask questions? Right? I ask you, whilst you're making love, then do you ask questions? You don't ask questions. You don't ask questions, why I must do this? Whatever you're doing, whether you're kissing or whatever, you're intimate, you say that, oh, what is the reasoning for this kiss? What is the reasoning? What is the akli dalil for that? Or you just respond, well, this is what the beloved wants. Let me do it. You don't ask any questions about that. Now, if you employ a reasoning in that level, then you say, no, but you're off now. Won't you say that you're off? No, but you're off. So you can't use your reasoning. There it is, the command of the beloved. The beloved wants it in a certain way, then let it be in that way. Then you don't use your reasoning. So he is the highest love. He is the answer to all love. The wife may be an answer to some love, right? Your parents may be an answer to some love. But the ultimate love is Allah Ta'ala's. Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate because He is the creator of love. Is there anybody above Allah Ta'ala's? Any love that is above the love of Allah Ta'ala? No. He is the ultimate. When He is the ultimate love, then you will do the ultimate for Him. For the wife will spend money, we'll give our lives, right? But the ultimate, what we'll do for Allah Ta'ala. We won't give life, we'll give hundreds of lives. Then we won't ask questions. Rasulullah Pak Sassan, when he had arrived for the Hajjatul Wida, and he was doing his qurbani, you won't find a king of any time that had offered 100 camels in qurbani. So Nabi Sassan wasn't a pauper, na'uzubillah. He wasn't a poor person. You hear of any king offering 100 camels? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam offered 100 camels. 100 camels in Qurban. Yeah, we had to do 1-2 camels. I don't know, what a big tamasha it was. What a big drama it was. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself had done some approximately 60 he did it himself. And the rest was Ali Raja had done. But approximately 60 he did himself. So that means he wasn't a pauper and he wasn't a weak man. For him to be doing it himself, so he's strong, he's also had a lot of wealth, and besides all that, he was an intelligent person, very, very wise. Right? Very wise, that all that intelligence, human intelligence, ends up with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, how to collect the barakat of all the animals? All the animals, and the qurbani meat is a meat that's got barakat. So when it's got barakat, then how do you get the barakat of all those animals? So he instructed that from each animal, take a piece, and when you make a soup out of it, then we'll eat of that. So when the soup is made of that, you're going to drink from that, so you enjoyed the barakat of all that animals. So when you talk of love, then in human language, the ultimate love in humanity is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is nobody as beloved as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? See how don't you see millions of people giving their lives? Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah. How many people say these words? Right? So in humanity, he is the ultimate love. And above humanity, Allah Pak is the ultimate love. There, by Allah Ta'ala, we don't ask questions. By Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, we don't ask him. So long as we know, definitely it is from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We verify it first, obviously. Is this report coming from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If it's coming from him, then we don't ask questions. It's the ultimate love. Then we don't ask. Like I said, in love, making love, then we don't ask questions. Then otherwise, it's not love. And forget human love. Even those animals love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Kullu yasdalifna ilayhi bi ayyatihinna yabdaw. That each one of them is running as though it's saying, Ya Rasulullah, I must be the first one. Ya Rasulullah, I must be the first one. They say in Farsi, Hama ahu sahara. All the deers that were collected there in the plains, right? They all gathered. Jan bakaf nihada. They place their lives in their palms. That start off with me, please. I want to offer my life to you. You start off with me. Even animals, forget the human kingdom, even animals, they had the recognition of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that each one of them, they are rushing, they are racing. I must be started off. You see that love? Allah gives us some part of that love. That love. Then nothing will be difficult for us. To practice on any sunnah won't be difficult for us. Now it is difficult for us. We're finding a little bit of a struggle in doing it. Why? We don't have the required amount of love. But when we have the required amount of love, then I'll say, what next, Ya Rasulullah? What next? Like you're doing the khidmat of some buzruk, right? He told you to make some tea. Right? Hazrat, I must get some biscuit also, Hazrat. Won't you say that? But you know, after that you will like something to drink, some cold drink or something, or some juice, right? Won't you say all these things? Say, what next? Why you want to draw closer to him? You do all these things here. Why do you do it? You want to draw closer to him. So in drawing closer to him, you want to offer one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. But when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the ultimate love, then you want to offer him the ultimate. Then he says, hey, get up for tahajjud. So no, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed me to do this, so I will do it. Then I won't ask the cozy, warm bed. I won't hesitate in getting up. He asked me, no, lower your gaze here. No, this thing is attractive. It is seducing, seductive, right? And attractive. But no, that is the ultimate love. For the ultimate love, all this thing is small. It's kachara, all this. So I'll just give it away. Because that's the ultimate. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to give away that love. For this dirt, I can't give away that love. I can't bargain with that love. So that was the first reason for these people being jealous and envious of us, that why did we been selected for the Friday? The second reason why they have got that envy and jealousy is Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the completion of faith. For no other religion did Allah Pak announce, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. This is the only deen who has been blessed with this favor that Allah Pak announced, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. The ayat is revealed that you had come in and said, you know, had this day been given to us, had this favor been given to us, we would have made it a day of celebration. So we don't need to make it a day of celebration, we all need to make it a day of celebration. Because it was already a Friday, it was the day of Arafat, and it was on the plains of Arafat. So it's all combined together. And we aren't like you people, we all have 1-2 days to celebrate. See, the whole Western mentality is different, Islam mentality is different. Our mentality is different, our reasoning is different, and their reasoning is different. Right? Because deen and religion is just part of the life. Well, not even part of the life, it's an extra thing. For them it's like an extra thing. It's a thing to socialize. It's not part and parcel of the life. And for us, it's life. Not part and parcel, but it is our life. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alameen. My prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my death, everything is for Allah Ta'ala. So we live for Allah Ta'ala, we die for Allah Ta'ala. Right. So it's not like a non-Muslim. A non-Muslim is just an additional thing. Faith is just an additional thing. A thing to, a common ground to celebrate or a common ground to socialize. Ours is totally different. Right. So this was the second reason why they were envious. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Now, their whole concept of celebrations, etc., is different. Because religion is an extra thing, is an additional thing. So they'll have 1-2 days in the year, etc., to celebrate Christmas or Easter, etc. Hindus will have Diwali, whatever, right? So that's the only thing they have. Or someone died, someone was born, and they will celebrate that day. And we will say that we've got so many personalities in our deen, so many personalities, so many great people, right? That if we work out their day of birth and their day of death, then there won't be perhaps an hour we will not have to celebrate. Because first Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and so many events, important events of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the day the revelation started, wahi started, right? The day he was born, the day he left the world, right? Then the day he migrated to Medina Munawwara, right? The day of Hajjatul Wida, when deen was complete and perfected, right? So there will be so many days, the day of Badr, the day of Uhud, so many things to celebrate. Then that was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then each Sahaba who made so much of sacrifices, so much of contributions to deen. Look at his life, 124,000, count all of them. The day of birth and the day of death, right? Then the Tabi'in and Tabi'a Tabi'in, leading awliya kiram. So we said, no, but the celebration business is your style, it's your way. You think like that, birth and dirt, death and all that, that's your style. Because religion is an extra thing, it's an additional thing. So therefore you will celebrate the birth of your Nabi. His ascension you will celebrate. We have got tons of it. We don't have to celebrate. Every day is a day of celebration. Every day is a day of remembrance. Every day is a day of commemoration, right? And you all just got 1-2 days. So, we will say, what is the essence of a celebration? What is the essence of that day? That day of birth or the day of death or the day of that magnificent aspect, what is the essence of it? The essence of it is to give the same type of contribution and offering and submission as these people had given. The Anbiya had given some offering, had given some submission, had given some service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a reminder for us that this Sahaba did this, and this Nabi did this, and this great Wali did this. So the way he had sacrificed and offered himself, we should also offer ourselves and sacrifice like how he had offered and sacrificed. Okay? Whichever way he sacrificed and offered himself, then I should be sacrificing myself and offering myself just as he had done. And if we deviate from that path, what will happen? If we ever deviate from that path, then deen will become an additional thing in our lives. Like how they have got a Christmas day, that one day in the year they're going to do something, right? And they got a Mother's Day, so that one day, the mother is also an additional thing in their lives. It's not part of the makeup. It's not the makeup of their lives. It's an additional thing. Once in a year, you go and see your mother for 1-2 hours and go and celebrate with her. Now you have completed the rite of your mother. So we look at life totally differently. Totally differently. We say the Jannat lies there. We say that it's your door of Jannat. We say not only serving her, but even pleasing her is your Jannat or your Jahannam. One is serving and one is pleasing, two different things. Serving, alright, what were her needs? You see into her needs. That was one. And pleasing is different. Pleasing her is a different thing. So you will look and you will try to work out now, how do I please my mother? What things will please her and what things will displease her? What does please my father and what displeases him? So I'll be working out in my mind, alright, this is the thing that he likes and these are the things that he dislikes. So I don't have to be taught, I don't have to be prompted, because I know these are the things that cheer him up, bring him up, and these are things that he's not happy with, he's not comfortable with. So I'll leave these things out. Though in essence they may be permissible. They may be permissible in nature. In essence, they are permissible. They are not haram. But he doesn't agree with it. As Aisha radiallahu anha says, that I don't apply the mehndi. Right? Because Rasulullah SAW doesn't like the smell of it. The smell he doesn't like. So I don't say it's impermissible. I don't say it's haram. It is a sunnah. You must do it. But Nabi SAW disagrees with that smell. So when he disagrees with that smell, so I avoid using it. So this is the second reason why they are envious of us. That we've been blessed with that completion announcement. Allah Pak has declared, يَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. The third reason why they are envious of us is why are we facing towards the Baytullah in Namaz. Someone is facing Baytul Muqaddas, someone is facing some other. But there was no reason for them to be envious. Why should they be envious of us? If we are facing a certain direction, then why should be they envious of us? Nobody stops them from facing the Baytullah during Namaz. Nobody stops them from accepting Islam. So they will also get the honor of Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. They will also get the honor فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ. What's the ayat? Huh? قِبْلَةً تَرْضَى. They'll also get their honor then. So nobody stops you. Anybody stops them from فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَهَا وَحِيثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Anything stops them. Nobody, nothing stops them. So you must die in your jealousy then. In burning and hurting yourself. You must die in that. قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْزِكُمْ. Qul mutu bi ghayzikum. Die. Die with that. You're getting infuriated. Why we've been blessed like this? We're not stopping you. You can come. Who's stopping you from coming this way? So you come, you'll enjoy what we enjoy. You will be honored like how we are being honored. So what's the need for you to? So the reason for the envy is that they don't want to surrender. They don't want to submit. The command of Allah Ta'ala, just submit. So this is the outstanding feature in a Muslim, that when it comes to the love of Allah Ta'ala, then he doesn't want any bargaining. He doesn't want any negotiations in that respect. No negotiations. It's unnegotiable. Non-negotiable. Right? It's the love of Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to negotiate it. But when we begin to negotiate the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will begin to make compromises in our deen. So the people that go off either, they begin to negotiate the love. Or they negotiate respect. One of the two reasons. They go off the tangent because they begin to negotiate compromise in love or compromise and negotiate in respect. One of the two things. Ya to muhabbat mein, ya to adab or ta'zim mein. If you've got that high level of respect, then you're not going to negotiate. You got a garden boy working for you, right? You ask him to do all the odds and the ends. So he holds you in a lot of esteem and respect. So he doesn't question your authority. Does he question your authority? He asks him, cut the grass today, and tomorrow you will do the pruning of the trees. So he will just do as he's been commanded. My boss told me to do this, he will do it. And you tell him, you know what? I got one letter to post. Can you take it to the post office? Yeah, inshallah, I'll do it straight away. Now if that boy, that garden boy says, boss, who is this letter to? And what's the contents of the letter? And do I have to send it? Do I have to go and post it now? I want to see the letter myself, what you wrote in that letter. What you will say? By, you know, at the gate, move. Won't you say that? You'll say that, by, that's my private affair. So, if he's holding you in respect, he won't ask. But if he doesn't have that degree of respect, then he'll ask why, who, when, what's the contents, etc. That garden boy is working for you. He just started the employment, the second, third month, and then he says, boss, I need to know where's your vault, you know, where you keep all your valuables, I need to know where you keep all these things here. I need to know that. I must know I'm working for you, so I must know where everything is kept. So if there's a fire or something, then one day I can save everything. Right? So are you going to lead him to that? And if he's even more disrespectful, and he begins to ask, hey, boss, you know, your daughters, I want to see them, where their rooms are and how they look, I want to see all that. Then what do you do? That you won't show him the gate, you'll give him two kicks and chase him away. Won't you do that? Why? Be adab. Okay, by my instruction, you might just carry it out. So this is the gist, huwa sammakumul muslimin. This is the gist of our faith. That we just do and die. We don't ask who and why. We just do and die. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. We receive the command of Allah Ta'ala, just do it. In fact, when you begin to ask too many questions, then apart from it being a weak faith, or a weak faith, you know, you lose the essence and the flavor of that work. You ask so many questions, then you lose the flavor of the work. He asks you 20 questions before he does any work. Is there any essence? Is there any flavor in that work? Is there any love in that work? There's no love. There's no understanding. There's no muhabbat in that. Nothing is enjoyed. So they began to ask too many questions. Musa asked them straight, just cut one, just slaughter one cow, that's all. يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. That's all. Any cow they went and taken and they had slaughtered it, they would have executed that command, finish. Command was executed, accomplished. But now who, why, when, are you serious about it? They ask him, Musa alayhi salam, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. In other words, are you serious about it? Are you joking with us? All types of unrelated things they began to ask. شَدَّدُوا فَشُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They went and did all these type of things, so their religion became difficult. شَدَّدُوا فَشُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They went and did all this. So that was a consequence of their behavior. Why they went and behaved like this? So, the gist of Islam is just we just surrender and submit. Allah Pak said this, we do it. My Allah Pak said he must do it. He said must go to ruku now, I'll go to ruku now. And he said must go to sajda now, I'm going to sajda now. And he said, now after that, sajda, I must get up. So I got up. So he told me now, no, after the second rakat, you must sit down. So I'll sit down. I won't ask questions, nothing. I won't ask. One day, now that boss gets happy with the garden boy, and he's got the full confidence in him, right? Then he'll show him his vote also, right? Only show him his vote. And if the garden boy really reproves himself, his piety, his righteousness, and his virtue, and perhaps he'll get him married to his own daughter also. Won't it happen? Can it happen or not? It can happen. But then he must prove himself. So one day, Allah Ta'ala will show you the wisdom of all these actions as well. What you couldn't understand, what you couldn't reason, what you couldn't fathom the philosophy of. Allah Ta'ala, alright, you're doing ruku, this is the reason. Sajda, that is the reason. Right? And you're standing up before me, this is the reason. So I will show you the philosophy in your rituals. In your rituals I will show you all the philosophy. I will show you all the logic and the reasoning. But you must come to that level of confidence. And you will come there with that level of service. Service, submission. And you show me that level of love. See? When I know that you are absolutely true, you won't betray my love. I know, I'm sure about you that you won't betray my love. Then I will show you all my secrets, all the things that I held in confidence, I hid away from you. Now I'll begin to expose one and the second thing and the third thing, and you begin to understand it. And you see it now from a different perspective altogether. Before you couldn't see it. Before you couldn't understand it. Before you didn't know what were the merits, what were the hidden secrets, you didn't know. The mysteries. You couldn't understand it at all. Now Allah Pak is opening up one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. So that's the third reason why these people are envious over you. Right? One is, I said, the Sabbath, right? One is Deen, right? One is the Qibla, right? And the fourth reason why they're envious over us is we've been blessed with saying Ameen at the end of the dua. Right? We've been blessed with it. You made that dua and you said Ameen. And the meaning of Ameen, Allah Pak accept this. Allahumma stajib, right? Well, Allah accept this. So, as though it's a khatam, it's endorsed, that dua of yours is sealed. It's endorsed by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak gave it to you and He's endorsed. Look at it in a different way, by Allah Pak wanted to give you, right? He wanted to bless you. And He says to you, by mere se mangna ho, to in alfaz se mere se mang lo. You want my favors, then you ask me with these words. You want my favors, then you ask me my favors with these words. And at the end you must say Ameen also. So He wants to give you, and He's teaching you in advance, okay, but you are too small, you are too immature, you are too naive, you won't understand these things. So let me teach you the whole approach. Royal procedure, royal protocol, I will teach you. You don't know protocol, what you know? So I will teach you royal protocol. When you're starting, then you say this. When you're ending, you say, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat. I'm showing you a royal procedure, royal protocol. And I will just open up all the gates of my treasures for you. So the gist of our deen is submission. There's give in. Right? And then we look at a secondary level, right? First, we gave ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. Right? Allah Pak said, we closed our eyes and we continued. Then after that, we gave ourselves to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? The Nabi Sallam told, so because He's divinely appointed, therefore, we closed our eyes and we heard, we just went. Then at the third level, wa ulil amri minkum. Right? Our dini elders who's giving us dini guidance. Dini guidance, right? There'll be two classes of people who are giving us dini guidance. One is the fuqaha, right? Their understanding is at a different level. So we respect the understanding. And the whole ummah respects the understanding, right? So we'll also give them, with our eyes closed, we'll just listen to them. Right? So there's two classes of ulil amr. One is those who have understood the do's and the don'ts, right? That they understood that. And there is a second class of the ulil amr who understand the inner self, the laws pertaining to the heart. Here is the laws pertaining to the limbs, and here the laws pertaining to the heart. So they are the ulil amr with respect to the heart. Here is the ulil amr with respect to the limbs and the heart. Here they are ulil amr. They understand that. They understand the limbs. And here they understand the heart. Right? So when we give ourselves to them, now you see, life is an enjoyment. It's just enjoyment and enjoyment and thorough enjoyment. Now where we go off today is for the submission of the limbs, right, to a certain extent we are going. Right, meaning taqleed we're doing. But the submission of the heart, there we find it very difficult to give our hearts. To give our hearts and to surrender our hearts for that rectification process, then we find it very, very difficult. We don't want to do it. If someone do it quarter way, some half way, some way, three quarter way. But we're not doing it like we're supposed to be doing it. See? But if we just do it, like that article read today, رَبْتُ الْقَلْبِ بِالشَّيْخِ, right? That's what it requires, that you give your heart. Your heart as though it's connected to him. In this world, right, every favor comes from Allah Ta'ala. Don't we believe that everything comes from Allah Ta'ala? But in reaching you, there are certain procedures. Does it come direct to you? Bread, does it come prepared, baked and prepared on your plate from Allah Ta'ala straight? Or it comes via certain processes? The wealth comes to you pouring from Allah Ta'ala straight, or does it come through some process? Children come flying from the heavens, or they come through some process? How do they come? They come through some process. My grandchildren were playing, you know, 2-3 years of age, so see, one thing the other, you know, I'm too frightened to go to the hospital, you know. The girl is saying, I'm too frightened to go to the hospital. You know, when I want a child, I'll just say, my husband, you go and collect the husband, collect the child, come. So, when we talk of Rabtul Qalbi bi Shaykh, right? Right? Whereas this is about the most important thing, right? After Allah and His Rasul, this is about the most important thing. Because the heart is the nucleus. And Allah Pak's procedure, He doesn't give you things directly. He gives you things, but via certain means, right? Wealth comes also through some means, some shop, you're working for someone, or something. But He doesn't give it to you directly. There is some procedures that He gives it to you. So your heart needs to take shape. When your heart needs to take shape, you got your limbs in shape, right? It's behaving in a certain way. Your eyes, your ears, your tongue is behaving in a certain way. So it's got a certain shape, right? And on account of that, you're getting some type of respect and recognition in this world. But with your limbs taking shape and coming and conforming, now your heart needs to take shape. So you know and you understood how to get the limbs in shape, right? You knew that. Your material life, you knew how to give it the shape, right? You gave it the shape, and you knew how to give it the shape. Now, your spiritual life, for your spiritual life, you need to give the heart that shape. And for that shape, you need to then dedicate yourself to someone. Like for your material, you dedicated yourself to the school, university, shop, etc., etc., right? Though you know that the shop doesn't give, Allah Pak gives. But you dedicated yourself. And when you dedicated yourself, you saw the good at the end, right? You saw that thing, what it does for you. Now, you saw the material. You dedicated yourself for the material and what the material had done for you, seen that. Now you dedicate your heart and then you see what your heart will do for you. You dedicate your heart to your elder, right? Like you dedicated yourself to your shop. You dedicated yourself to your business. You dedicated yourself to your profession. And then what your profession did for you after that, you seen, right? Now, by the same token, now you dedicated yourself to your elder. You dedicated your heart to your elder. Now you see that heart. Now it's like it's a garden of roses. That is, you know, it's underworded. It's just joy, thorough joy. Enjoyment and thorough enjoyment. So when you look at when you analyze this whole tasawuf, when I analyze it, it's nothing more than joy. It's just jannah and joy and bliss and enjoyment all the time. But for that enjoyment, you need to bring about that level of submission. And then you see, it's just enjoyment and happiness, happiness through and through. Kaash ki hamara dil mein ye baat baith jaye.